Okay, so I think we'll do a little bit of the Melachos of Shabbos. We'll start with Bishul. And I'm going to base it off the Sefer Aruch HaShabbos, but we'll certainly, I'll try to expand it beyond as well. So again, so we're going to do some Melachos of Shabbos. We'll start with Bishul, and I don't think we're going to cover everything, but hopefully at least somebody can share here. Okay. So again, I'm working off the Sefer Aruch HaShabbos, which is an excellent Hilchos Shabbos Sefer. But again, we'll try and expand beyond the Sefer as well. So the Rambam writes the Malachos of Shabbos, there are 39 Malachos, and the first bunch of Malachos are called the Sidura de Pas. Right, which is the easy way of remembering the order of the malachos, because it has to do with how you make bread. So it starts off with planting, with zoreya and chorish and the plowing, and goes through the entire process until you get to the last one, which is bishul. Now, really, it's not bishul because you don't cook bread; you bake bread. So it's ofa. But we assume that ofa and bishul are the same. They're basically three processes when it comes to cooking. We've discussed this a little bit in the past. I think we spoke about it a little bit last year. But there's bishul is cooking. Cooking means that you do something you change something through heat, but using a liquid medium. So you have something which will heat up, we'll call it the water, then you put something in and that will cook it. Ofe, baking, is when you have a chamber which is heated, the walls are heated, and that creates heat inside and that bakes it, changes it. And then sli is on the fire, like barbecuing, roasting, interacts directly with it. All of those things are included in the Malacha d'Oraisa of Bishul. So the Rambam writes in the ninth parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Echad ha-mevashel ha-samaychel o ha-mechamim ha-samayim ve-echad ofa ha-sapas ha-kol inyan echad hilik. What we just said, whether you cook food, whether you heat up water, and we'll get to some of the differences between what's defined as cooking, between liquids and solids, we'll get there momentarily. And whether you bake bread, everything is considered to be one. And it's not limited, I think, question 1 second. It's not limited to food. You could, in theory, as the Rambam also writes, if you heat up metal to the point where it's red hot or the point where it changes, that would be bishul as well. So the basic definition of bishul is changing, again, it's a little bit more nuanced, but it's basically changing the properties of something using heat. Question?
Yeah, what would cholent be under that category? Because you have water inside that heats up, but the chamber around it also heats up.
So we'll see. The cholent is probably against the bishul. We look at the food itself. So the liquid is cooked. Again, it's not going to make much of a difference until we get to some of the differences between solids and liquids later. We didn't make any of those distinctions yet. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Andaf Lamites, says that it is mutter levashel bechama. You are allowed to cook something in the sun. So even though you're going to be changing, again, you need to have strong enough sun, but even though you're going to be changing the properties of something using heat, right, of the sun, it's going to be permitted. Even midrabanan. Why? Because ein derech bishulo bekach. It is not a normal way of cooking. Generally speaking, the malachos that are forbidden in their normal way of doing them. However, so there are, we'll say it this way. There are four different scenarios when it comes to bishul, and four different categories. We have what's called eish, which is fire. That's going to be asim midaraisa. We have toldas ha'eish, something which is heated up by fire. So that would be if you have water, which is heated up by fire, and then you cook something in the water, that is toldas ha'eish. That is also going to be asir midrabanan. Chama, cooking directly in the sun, that is going to be permitted. Toldas ha'chama, if something gets heated up, so if you have a frying pan that gets heated up by the sun, and then you crack an egg and you cook it in the frying pan, that is asr midrabanan. That is asr midrabanan. Why is that asr midrabanan? So it's not aser min haTorah because it's not the normal way, and the source is the chama. The reason that it's aser min derabanan is because the distinction between the frying pan, whether that frying pan was heated up by a fire, whether the frying pan was heating up by the sun, isn't so clear, and one could come to make a mistake. And generally speaking, the malachos derabanan of Shabbos are there when there could potentially be some sort of error. Good? So those are the basic situations that we have. If you have something which cooks with electricity, we treat that as ish for these purposes. For other things, we don't treat it directly as fire, but for the most part, we treat it directly as ish. So if you're going to turn it, and it could be, that you'll have bishul on the metal as well. If the metal gets hot enough and gets red hot, it could be heating up the coils of an electric stovetop. Maybe that would be usher as well, but certainly cooking is still going to be usher. Now, the other important thing which is important to know is the different types of kelim that we have on Shabbos. So, what is a kli rishon? A kli rishon is the initial pot that gets heated up on the fire. So, if I want to boil eggs, so I'm going to take water, put it in the pot, and turn the fire on. The water is going to reach a point of boiling, very, very hot, put in the eggs, and now the eggs are going to be cooked. That pot is called a kli rishon. According to almost all the rishonim and how we paskin, cooking in a kli rishon, even if it's no longer on the fire, right, if kli rishon shehusar me'agabe ha'esh, that's taken off of the fire, is still going to be asur midaoraisa. So that is very, very significant, because that means that if you take any sort of raw food and put it into a pot that is still hot from being on the fire, and it's hot enough to cook it, we'll have to define what cooking means in a moment, but hot enough to cook it, that is going to be a violation of bishul min haTorah. Good? Okay. Fine. Now, sometimes the malacha of bishul again is when you take something which is raw, you change its properties. What if you have something? So, is it that you change the properties of it, or is it that you're taking? Is the malacha defined as taking something from being in a state of being raw and making it edible, right? Which is a little bit more nuanced, but that's really what cooking is. Right. Generally in cooking, we take food which is inedible, we heat it up, and that makes it edible. What's going to be the nafka mina? The nafka mina is going to be if you have something which is roi la'achila below bishul, what we'll call fruits and vegetables. Right, you have fruits and vegetables which can be eaten raw, and I cook them. Is that a violation of bishul min haTorah or not? So it's going to depend on our definition of bishul. If it's that I'm changing the item through cooking it, so I've changed it. I have changed it, right? Because again, a cooked carrot and a raw carrot are two different things. They might both be a carrot, but it's different. I'm asking for, I'm not expecting that. But on the other hand, if the definition of cooking is using heat to change something from being in a state of being inedible to becoming edible, I have not done that because it was edible anyway. So we assume that halacha that a mavashel b'Shabbos chayav, that the person who cooks on Shabbos is going to be chayav for bishul, afilu ma'michel roi l'achila af b'lo bishul. Even if the food is edible without cooking it, you are still going to be chayav if you cook it. And therefore, if you have an apple or you have some sort of fruit, which again is normal to eat on its own, if you have something like a potato, which is not normally eaten raw, so then that would for sure be aser with either definition of bishul. But if you're going to have something which is edible on its own, and now I'm just changing its form to bishul, that is still going to be aser because of mevashel. Good? Good. What is the definition Okay, sorry. So a few other examples. Let's say you have wet clothing, right? You come back from shul and you got drenched by the rain. If you put that on top of a radiator or something like that, you could actually be over on Bishul for the water. Yeah, if it gets hot enough. We'll talk about what hot enough is. But right, even though you're not, it doesn't necessarily have to be for food purposes. But if you do what was getting called yibush begadim, if you dry out clothes using heat, then really what's happening when you dry out the clothes is that the water is evaporating. When the water is evaporating, because it gets hot, that is going to be a violation of bishul, because even bishul the ibud, even if the bishul again is not going to be something that I'm going to benefit from, is still going to be aser. Okay. What is the definition of bishul? So here is the first time that there is a distinction between liquids and solids. And this is going to be a theme that we'll see throughout as we learn these halachos. The Gemara tells us that the shear of bishul, when it comes to something which is a solid food, is cooking it kemaichel ben drusai. It's cooking it to kemaichel ben drusai, like the food of the ben drusai. Gemara Shabbos and Daf Chaf. What are the ben drusai? So the ben drusai were a gang of robbers, and they would always be on the run, and therefore they didn't have time to sit there letting their food cook all the way, and therefore they would eat their food partially cooked. It's a machlokas how much the shear of Michael ben Jusai is, whether it's a third of the way cooked or half of the way cooked. We try to be machmir, lechatchila for both. So that means if you have, let's say, a piece of chicken and you cook it until it's halfway cooked, you've violated the Isser of Bishul. Now, what does halfway cooked mean? And this is not a simple point. This is a point that the Chazon Ish makes. Which is that it's not clear. Meaning, I'll try to say it this way. If you have a piece of, let's say your chicken has to cook for an hour. When it cooks for half an hour, is it halfway cooked? Or is just half the time that's needed for it to cook has already elapsed? Meaning, there's a lot, you could probably see this more when it comes to meat. Right, people like their meat at different levels of cooking. So you go to a restaurant and you order it, rare, medium well, right? The chilukim, right, takes a lot longer to get from raw to rare than it does to get from rare to medium/well done. Right, there's a lot more of the change in terms of the cooking that takes place at the end than it does just if you calculated it by time. So it's not clear that you can just go based on the amount of time that you're going to cook, because a lot more cooking seems to happen at the end. But it's also hard to be mishayer. So if you are mishayer, right? If you estimate based on the time, you'll probably almost always be okay. Meaning, it will be the chumra a little bit, but you'll at least have an idea of what it is. What's the vart? Meaning, why should that be the... Well, who cares? I'm not a ben drusai guy. Why is it that the shear of the ben drusai is enough to have the item be considered to be cooked? And the answer seems to be because at that point there's a significant change. Because once the ben drusai can eat it, it's at least what we would call edible al yedei hadchak. It's not, might not be the way that I like it, but I have, in terms of, has my pu'ula, has my cooking action accomplished anything? The answer is yes. It changed the food from raw and inedible to edible. Is it as edible as I would like it? Is it mufushal kol tzorko? Is it fully cooked? No, it's not fully cooked. But in terms of, has my bishul accomplished something? The answer is yes. Yes. I'm not a ben drusa. Okay. But at least idea dechak, it is something which can be eaten. This leads to a fascinating machlokas rishonim. And the question in the rishonim is like this: If you view it as a continuum, right? Then if you start out with the food raw, and then you have the food, what we would call mavushal kol tzarko, fully cooked, and then you have this Michael ben Drusoy point somewhere in the middle. What happens if on Shabbos you take food that is already cooked, k'Michael ben Drusoy, and now you cook it and make it fully cooked? So before Shabbos, it's already at the point of Michael ben Drusoy. It's already, we'll call it half cooked. It's half cooked. And now on Shabbos, I cook, again, Minat Torah talking. We'll get to the Darabonis later. Minat Torah, did I violate the Issur D'orais of cooking from taking it from halfway cooked and making it fully cooked? So this is a machlok as we've shown him between the Rashba and the Rambam. And we are, again, we try to be machmir lechatchila, but b'di'eved, it could be a sniff lahakel if one did it. What's the svara of the machlokas?
They're just
warming. But meaning what?
It's already basically cooked. Oh. So you're not really cooking anymore because it's at a level of cook, so you're kind of just heating it up.
Right, so I'll say from the opposite direction. Meaning, if the definition of bishul is to take the raw food and turn the raw food into edible, and that's, right, and it has to be a significant change, so that change has already happened. So once something is edible, it's edible. It's edible to more people, okay. But it's going from raw to edible is the definition of cooking, therefore, if I do anything else, that's not going to yasser. The alternative is to say no. The point is, did my cooking accomplish something? So one way of seeing it accomplish something is if I take it from raw to Michael Benjuslek, because now it's edible. But I've also accomplished something if I take it from the halfway point and now it's fully cooked. Why? Because now it's edible to more people. That seems to be the sort of machlokas. What is the definition of cooking? If it's to take the food from raw to edible, you can't do that more than once. You can only do that once. Because once it's edible, even if you're going to define edible based on the way it is for certain people and not for everybody, but that's the definition of edible. If you say that it's no, that's not the definition. Yes, when I hit the first point of edible, then I'm going to be chayev. Why? Because I've done a significant action. But if I take it further along the way, I've also done a significant action because now it is edible to more people. So we do try to be machmir. So again, when we're going to get to the halachos later on at some point about reheating food, so most of those discussions that we're going to have are reheating food that's fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, then you might have a bishul, and then it gets into the derabanans of reheating food, because we're going to talk later about ing bishul, achar bishul. We'll talk about different concepts. But if the food is not fully cooked, you might have a shayla on a d'oraisa level. Right? Because if you're going to taking it from partially edible to fully edible, then that is going to be something that you need to think about. So again, every time we're going to be talking later about anything in terms of reheating, we're going to have to be assuming that the item is fully cooked. If the item is not fully cooked, then there is not anything to talk about. Let's stop here so you guys have time to eat lunch before Shir.